Well, good morning and welcome back to our sermon. Today we're going to be continuing in Proverbs chapter 10, starting in verse 9, but we're going to look at some of the verses in a little bit different order today because we're going to be covering things that fit with this verses 9 and 10 here. And we'll be doing that similar way for the rest of the verses in Proverbs chapter 10. Now, to begin with, I thought of something that I saw recently. I was driving to Costco with Hannah, and on the way we passed some houses that were on a hill that had decks, and the decks were really high and they had these extremely long posts supporting the decks. And I looked at those things and I thought, first of all, I would be a little bit afraid to stand on those decks, and you'd have to really trust those posts, that those posts are sound and whole and not compromised in any way. I suppose it's a little bit similar when we drive our cars, and we take this for granted, but we drive our cars and we sure need to have brakes that work, steering that's working, and tires that do their job. Those things need to be complete. They need to be whole. They need to be sound. They need to be working as they should. If they're not, then we could end up in a ditch somewhere, or we could end up in front of another car or in a very serious accident. So those are things that we're familiar with that we probably take for granted all the time. But they need to be sound, and we're depending on those things. And today, what I see in these Proverbs that we're looking at is that we need to have soundness in ourselves through Christ and through His righteousness. And if that soundness is lacking, then it leads us to a place and an outcome that we don't want. And when we do have Christ's soundness through His righteousness in our life, then it leads us in a good direction. And so really, that's what really today is. Today is a reminder and a call and a challenge for us to live this life in righteousness, but in His integrity and in the love that He wants us to have for others. So before we get into it, let's just take a moment and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. I just ask your blessing on everyone who's watching right now. And I pray, Lord, that we can draw near to you and you can show us how you want us to live our lives and how you want to give us soundness and wholeness and completeness in you. We thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And let's begin in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. It says, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out." So in the Bible, it's very normal for the Bible to compare the life that you live to a walk. So this is how you walk. It's the way that you live your life. And for a Christian, it's the way that we live out our Christianity. So you might hear somebody talk about something like the Christian walk, or they might say, "Hey brother, how's your walk? How are you doing? Are you walking with Jesus?" And let me just share some other passages where we see that in Scripture. Starting in Psalm 1:1, it said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." So in that case, you have the idea of walk is like a shared experience and living and spending time. So we don't want to spend time with those who lead us away from the truth, but we would rather walk with God and those who lead us in the right direction. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And so it's describing the way that we walk through life, and it's in darkness without God's word, and God's word shows us the way that we should go. Micah 6:8 says, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Again, it's to walk with God and to do that humbly. Now, the New Testament also mentions walk. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So we need to live this life. We need to live out our Christianity in faith, not just by the things that we see and not primarily by the things we see, but by the faith that we have in Christ. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And so there's a battle within us between our flesh and God's Holy Spirit. But he says that if you will walk, if you will live by the Spirit, then you will not give in to the flesh and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Colossians 2:6 says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." And 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." And the final verse I have for you is 1 John 2:6. It says, "Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." And so God wishes us to walk with him and to walk in the way that he wants us to walk and to walk as Jesus walked. So going back to this verse, it's a life of integrity that's talked about here. So it says, if you will walk in integrity, you will walk securely. But if you walk crookedly, so as he who makes his way crooked will be found out. So let's talk a little bit about the word there that we get integrity from, because it's really a Hebrew word. The word here is tom, sounds like home. You might see it spelled out T-O-M, but again, it's from these Hebrew characters. So phonetically, it's tom. And the definition for that is completeness, fullness, innocence, simplicity, perfection, sincerity, soundness, integrity, uprightness, wholeness. Now, oftentimes when we think of integrity, we mostly think of honesty. Like you're doing the right thing, even though nobody's watching, you still are doing the right thing. And I think that is a good understanding of what integrity is. But the word tom, I think, gives us even more of an understanding of what's meant here. And I want to especially call out the fact that we have things like soundness and completeness and wholeness here. Because when you think about something like those posts that I was talking about, you want something like that to have integrity. So in that case, when we think about it, in integrity, in that case, is it can't be compromised. So if you have some rot in it, it's compromised and it's weakened and it's not going to do the job that it's supposed to do. And so this is what God wants us to live our life like. He doesn't want our lives to be compromised. He doesn't want us to commit to ways that are dishonoring and displeasing to him. And this is ultimately what's best for us and everybody around us. If you think about those posts, like people are counting on those posts, but people are counting on you. Your family's counting on you. Your loved ones are counting on you. Your church is counting on you to live a life this way. And you and I, really, we can only do this through Christ in his grace. But this is what we need to want in our lives. We need to want a life that's whole and is good and is upright. Now, that same word is translated different ways. So it could be translated integrity. Oftentimes it is in the scripture. Other times it's translated upright or uprightness, blameless, innocence or innocent, and full. So you'll see that. We'll even see it translated different ways in this passage. Or if you have a different translation of the Bible, you may see the word translated here as upright. So we need integrity. And we need integrity. And I'm going to give you three areas that as I was studying and I was looking at different verses, I would see that we need integrity in these areas. And I think that it's going to go deeper as I go through these things. So the third thing is the most important area that we need integrity. But first, we need integrity in our ways. So how we live our lives. People should actually see integrity in the choices we make and the outward demonstration of what we do. And we should hold integrity in a high place. And so we should live our life in that way, and it should be obvious to others. Now, to do that, though, we need to go past what our ways are. We need to go into our minds. We need to have integrity in our minds and our thinking. We need to think whole thoughts, complete thoughts, healthy thoughts, good thoughts, you know, things that please and honor God. Set our mind on the things of God, not the things of this earth. But we need to have minds that think with integrity, not minds that challenge us to see what we can get away with and, what we can do, but more what we should do. What is pleasing to God? What is honoring to God? We need that in our minds. And then lastly, the last place that we need and the most important place that we need integrity is in our hearts. And if you look in the scripture and you find like all the places that integrity is talked of, the majority talk about integrity of heart. So that's where integrity really comes from. And I think it flows from our heart to our mind, and then it goes to our ways. And so we need to be right before God in our hearts. And so sometimes people will look at things and they'll judge people about maybe something that they perceive that they did. But ultimately, What you and I need to do is we need to be accountable to God. And God knows our hearts. God knows our thoughts and God knows our ways, but especially our hearts. He looks in our hearts and he knows, is there anything that's corrupt about us and about why we do what we do? You know, what is our motive? And so these are the areas in our lives that we need to have integrity. Now you can say, I need to have integrity in my business. I need to have integrity in my family. Yeah, but all those things come from your heart, your mind, and they are your ways as far as how you show integrity and how you live it out. Now, as we look at that, if we go back to this and we look at what this says, if we don't have integrity, it says, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. So we can also know that having integrity protects us. So if we make a choice not to do the right thing, if we don't live it out because it's not in our heart is tempting us, our heart is corrupt, we have some corruption there, there's a lack of integrity and wholeness, wholly devoted to God. If that's not there, then we make the wrong choice, we do the wrong thing. But we need to also know that we're warned here that when we do that, we'll be found out. We'll be shown to be corrupted in that way. Much like I think if you have a part, a crucial part that has a flaw, that eventually it'll be found out. So continuing in chapter 10 then, it says, whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin. And I think this is really connected there to verse 9. Now, a lot of the Proverbs seem to jump around, and there seems to be no rhyme or reason, but sometimes a couple of them are grouped together, or you see like an interlacing of ideas here. So all throughout this, I see this idea of integrity and the lack of integrity, you know, the contrast there, and the results of what happened is spelled out throughout this chapter, and then it's mixed in with some other things. But when you think about the person who winks, I think this is given the idea of dishonesty. They're winking for a reason, and it could be like in the idea of like, hey, what I'm saying doesn't really match, you know, what I'm going to do. I'm going to do different than what I'm saying. You know, it might be like a person you see that crosses their fingers and thinks, hey, they crossed their fingers, they can lie. But it's a little bit like that. Hey, watch what I'm going to do to this person. Watch how I'm going to pull one over on them. Now, I think the other thing that you might think of as winking is also we could think about that as dishonesty in relationships, like a kind of flirtatiousness or something like that, that again is dishonest and is a foolish way to live life and could lead to a lot of trouble. And so it says, whoever winks the eye causes trouble. They cause trouble not just for themselves, and they certainly do, but they would cause trouble for others and everyone else that's around them. If you have a dishonest person that you're depending on because they're part of your family or they're part of your church or they're part of your friend group, then ultimately like their trouble will find its way to you. And if you're the dishonest person, you have to know that when you choose to be dishonest, that puts others in jeopardy. And so we want to do what's right to protect those who depend on us. And so just remember that causes trouble. And it says in another way here, a babbling fool, so one that speaks lies and goes on. And we talked about this a little bit last week. This is a similar, basically it's the same statement. A babbling fool will come to ruin. So be honest, live with integrity, live it out, even when it's difficult. See, having integrity is not easy. It's not easy to do the right thing. And there's expense and there's cost to it. But it's well worth it to take that expense on and to do it because it provides safety for you and your family and keeps you out of ruin. So that's important to remember that. Now, it changes gear just a little bit here in verse 12. It says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. And here the subject more would be love. Now, I want to say that us exercising love and having love and doing what we do out of love, that provides a lot of integrity to us in our life. So if we have a lack of love, we have a lack of integrity. And so when we're functioning the way that we're supposed to be functioning as children of God, then we are loving others, we are loving our neighbors, and we're unselfish. And so this verse says, hatred stirs up strife. And we're seeing a lot of that in our world today, but there's a lot of hatred out there, and there's a lot of hatred without really good reason or the ability to talk and reason and work on it. we see that. And what that does is it causes a lot of trouble and it causes a lot of people to hate. And you and I have to be really careful that the things that we see don't cause us to hate people or to judge people or to think in too narrow of a way. We have to be careful of that. Now, it says that love is the opposite. Love covers all offenses. So love has a way of, rather than like taking an offense and highlighting and calling and saying, look what you've done, and you're a bad person for this, you're terrible, and I hate you for this. But love covers offenses. Now, we see this also in 1 Peter 4:8. It says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And so if you want to have integrity in your life, if you want to be whole and you want to be sound, then you need to make every effort to keep loving people. And you need to do that earnestly. That means it's from the heart. You do that, and you do that even when it's hard and when it's difficult. And you do it, and you're very diligent about wanting to do that. And so it says we need to do this since love covers a multitude of sins. Now, when I think about this in our lives, I think about this verse. It's really important to remember that you and I, we're not going to get everything right. We're just not, because we're people. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to get things wrong in our relationships. We're going to get things wrong in our family. We're going to do things sometimes that we need to repent from. But if you will be a person that's dedicated to loving other people, you're going to find that that goes a long way to cover your mistakes and the mistakes of others, and to smooth things over and to help people get along. And so we need to be completely dedicated to love. Now, as we think about this, we need to remember, though, that love is not what the world thinks love is. There's a biblical love. So if you look at 1 Corinthians 13 here, you see this. This provides us a description of what biblical love is. It is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. It rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So when we look at love, love is especially unselfish. So here's another definition that we can give for love. Love is your unselfish actions to benefit someone else. You pay the price, you do it gladly, and you require nothing in return. So love is so much more than a feeling, but so often it's what you do and what you're willing to do. And you do it, and you're not doing it to get paid back. You're doing it because of the love and the commitment that you have for somebody else. And so that's what love looks like. And if we love in this way, then it covers all kinds of offenses that are out there. So now, as this switches gear a little bit, I think that what these other verses that I have, and you can see that I'm skipping ahead now, and I did skip ahead earlier to verse 24 here, it talks about really the results of the difference between living a life of integrity and living a life with a lack of integrity. Really, what's on the line? It says, what the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. And so if we commit ourselves to integrity and we have a life, we live a life of integrity, which is made possible through Christ's righteousness, then it ends up in so much of a better place. And I think that's what these verses are showing us. So in this case, it's like, If you go the way of wickedness, you have things that you dread, you have things that you're afraid of, and you're walking right into those things. Your choices that lack integrity lead you into the very things that you don't want. But when you make the decisions that are consistent with integrity, they lead you to your desires being granted. And part of that is because your desires are good and your desires are healthy. All right, so it continues in verse 25. It says, when the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. So we think about something that's lacking integrity, and I can go back to an example of something like a home. You see the idea, you know the idea that the storm is coming. You know, we can think about that parable of the wise man building his house on the rock. If you build your house on the rock, then your life is able to withstand the storm because you're built on Christ, you're built on something that's solid. But when you build your life on the sand and the storm comes, it'll just wash everything away. And that's very much what this proverb is saying, that you, with a lack of integrity, you will not be able to withstand life's storms. So skipping ahead to verse 27, it says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be cut short." Again, we have integrity. We have fear of God. If there's a lack of integrity, there's a lack of respect for God. And that actually, in general, results in a shorter life because we make decisions that are not consistent. We know it definitely results in a life of less quality that we have because we're not honoring God and we're not living for Him. It continues in verse 28. It says, "The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish." Again, a righteous life with integrity leads to joy, but a lack of integrity, you have these expectations, but they perish. You don't really see those expectations come to pass. "The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless, but destruction to the evildoer." And a couple weeks ago, we talked about a stronghold. And there are good strongholds and bad strongholds, and this would be a good stronghold. So this is where this is a stronghold for you and I. It says the way of the Lord is a stronghold. So it's like us being able to go into a fortified city when we're being attacked by the enemy, and it keeps us safe and secure, and we won't be taken captive, and we won't be killed. So living our life with integrity in the Lord's way, it's a stronghold to us, but it is destruction to evildoers. And let me go just back to when I say us. I'm saying that, you know, as someone who is a follower of Christ and a believer, and He's the one that makes me blameless. I'm not blameless in and of myself. But that word blameless, I have it underlined here because that's the same word in the Hebrew that we get integrity from. So it's the same word here. So if you will live your life in God's integrity, then that will be a stronghold for you, a stronghold, a good stronghold. But if you won't, then you're going to be destroyed. And that's the guaranteed outcome for the evildoer and the person that doesn't come to Christ in repentance. So verse 30 continues, it says, "The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land." Is there some area in your life that you're lacking integrity? I would encourage you to pay close attention to these verses that show just how important it is for us to live a life of integrity. And remember, integrity is not you just trying to be honest and you just trying to get something right. It goes beyond that. It's this wholeness and completeness that you have in Christ. And so if there is a hole, if there is a little chink in your armor, as we talked about, you know, if you have a spot where you're exposed and you're vulnerable to the enemy, then you need to look to deal with that. And I would encourage you to dedicate that area to prayer and to talk to someone else. Look for people that will help hold you accountable. Make decisions, even when they're hard, that are consistent with God's integrity in your life. Be willing to do that in the hardest areas of life, even if it costs you, and it costs you greatly. So let's just take a moment and let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for the fact that You tell us how You want us to live this life. You teach us how to live it. You fill us with Your Spirit and You equip us to do that, and You change us from the inside out. And I pray that we can have Your integrity and Your love, and we can live in that way and honor You. And we can see that Your Word promises that when we do that, it ends up so much better for us. And I just want that for others. I want that for those in our body to have the result of a life lived for You and to just be blessed by it in that way. Lord, we don't need a lot of money or material or those things. Jesus, what we need is You. And we want that, and we want more and more of You every day. We thank You so much. We love You and we praise You. And it is in Your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for being here with us and joining us. Look forward to seeing you next time.